Over the past several years, I've been pushing the church to see that our relationship with Christ is based on our willingness to follow Christ. It's not just a mere, thing that we just come to church. It's not just something we say that we believe in Jesus, right? It's more than that. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just the book of ethics that we follow, but like, in the rules of law, which we have our commandments that Jesus said, if you keep my commands, it means that you love me, for one thing. Not you just don't do it just because. When you keep my commands, it means you love me very much. And it also means if you're willing to keep my commands and follow after, then you're true followers of mine. The sacrifice or the cost of being a follower of Jesus is that you have to be willing to turn your back on certain things in this world. There's just things in this world that we don't do. It's not because it says it in the book that you don't do this, because the book is full of that. In the Old Testament, there was 600 plus rules that you did and you didn't do, right?
Wow.
The do's and the don'ts. And they had a tough time following those 600, right? I mean, how many of us would have a tough time following 600 rules, right? That's why we have Jesus. So what are the things I'm talking about this morning? Those certain things of this world. Picture in your mind, what are those things in this world that you know in your heart that God says, you probably shouldn't do that? Okay? That's those things I'm talking about. It comes down to this. Anything in your life that keeps you from being fully devoted to Christ, those are the things that you need to get rid of. Those are the things that need to be sacrificed. And how do you sacrifice those? Give them to God. So what do you do? What you do, who you hang out with, or where you go, who you know in your heart that you shouldn't hang out with. There's that crowd, right? There's a certain crowd of people. There's a certain crowd of friends that I have that I don't go hang out with much because I know the influence that they put on me. There's sometimes we're in a situation that we know we're taking part in something that we know we shouldn't take part in. Okay? Well, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's you just don't find going to church interesting anymore. Those are the little things, it seems like, but sometimes we get complacent in our spiritual life. Sometimes church just isn't fun anymore. Sometimes it's not what we expect it to be. Sometimes our passion dwindles. It's what happens in marriages. Sometimes our spouse is just not as interesting as they used to be. I'm speaking from another perspective. Okay. From somebody else's perspective. It's the truth, though. I'm being truthful. Sometimes, amen. Amen. Maybe sometimes, a lot of times I think from my perspective, now this is from my perspective. Sometimes I think you guys think I preach too long. Sometimes I think by the looks on your faces, you're like, will this guy ever shut up? I'm being honest this morning. Trey said amen twice. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's more to this. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's reading our Bible. Maybe it's that. Maybe we only read when we feel like it. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's the only time we pray is if we need something. Instead of praying every day, thanking God for what we have. But, you know, in all of that, He knows our hearts. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, He knows my heart. God knows my heart. He knows me. He knows I mean well. He knows my heart's there. I've heard people say, well, my heart will be with you. My spirit will be with you. I want your presence. God wants your presence, right? Amen. He wants all of you, right? He just doesn't want part of you. He didn't want your thoughts. He appreciates your thoughts sometimes, but He wants all of you is the point to all this. God knows your heart better than you do. He knows your intentions. He knows whether your intentions are you would just rather stay at home and watch your favorite television show than getting up and going to church. Yep. But sometimes we let Satan get to us. We allow him. Now, listen to this. We allow him, okay? Satan just doesn't make you do anything. That used to be my greatest excuse. The devil made me do it. That was my favorite excuse because it worked, right? The devil made me do it. Well, sure he did because I was letting him, right? But when we allow Satan to steer us away from moving forward in our faith, you know, that's what happens. Jesus wants you to be faithful in following Him, and He expects you to take the responsibilities that come with it. There's responsibilities in being a disciple. There's responsibilities of being a Christian, right? And He knows your heart. I wonder how willing we are today to do things His way. How willing are you this morning? What are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? And so you got to make a choice, a real choice in your life. Not just good intentions, not just thinking about it, but actually doing it. And then what James said, we got to be more than just hearers of the word. People go to church all the time, every week, and they hear sermons after sermons, and they go to Bible studies, and they hear all these things taught to them, but then they never applied in their life. Or they just apply the things that meet their needs. You know, I'll apply this part, but this part right here is going overboard. It's not what Jesus wants from us. Is Jesus close enough to the center of your heart that you love Him enough to really take a step forward in faith today?
Amen.
Do you care enough about Jesus? Boy, that was loud. Maybe it was meant to be. Do you care enough about Jesus? The sacrifice that He made for you and me to leave stuff behind, to get rid of things that you know in this world is not good for you. Are you willing to do that this morning? Do you love Him enough to do that? You know, most people want the benefits of salvation. They want the benefits of the cross. They want that, but they don't want the sacrifice that comes with it. They don't want the giving up on their part. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. There's more to it than just saying, I'm a Christian. I can wear a shirt that says, I'm a Christian. I can wear a shirt that says, I'm saved. But you know, that shirt says it on the outside, but it doesn't say it on the inside, does it? You know what says it on the inside? By my actions. What I do in my time, who I hang out with, how I talk, the language that I use, the places that I go. That shows everybody else around you who you really belong to.
You belong to me.
I hope so, Teddy. You know, Peter, you know, when he got out of the boat, he had to ask for help before Jesus would help him. You ever think about that? It takes a commitment on our part. It takes an asking on our part. It takes a little bit of effort, is what he's saying. I gave you all this. Can you not just sacrifice a little for me in your time? You got eternity with me forever. Sometimes things or situations in our lives can seem to overwhelm us, doesn't it? I mean, we get into those overwhelming weeks sometimes, months, sometimes even years. We go through things, life-changing events in our life. And so often we focus on the problem and forget about the bigger picture that God sees. And that big picture shows us that God is in control. And even when we don't know what to do, we're his children and he cares about us. God has promised to protect us and heal us. And all we have to do is turn to God to trust him, and he will direct our steps. That's what the scripture promises us. But yet so many times, it's like he is the last resort. We do everything else, and then we're like, well, if this doesn't work, then I'll go to God. But God's promises, they never change. The scripture tells us he's the same today as he was yesterday. And he'll be the same for eternity. He never changes. His promises are unchanging and his truth remains unchanged. And God continues to help those who rely on him just as he promised. Amen? Sometimes we want things our way. For many people in this world, their focus is mainly on themselves. We have a whole culture in America of me syndrome. It's all about me, right? And you've heard me say this many times. I even wrote songs about it. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one in my life, right? What I want, what makes me happy, what makes me feel good. That's what's most important. I like that, right? But God is more concerned about your salvation than he is your happiness. I'm concerned about my comfort at times. A lot of people are concerned about comfort in their career, their family, their hobbies. I should have left that one out because hobbies are one of those. I have to pray about that. I have several hobbies that I really like. Yeah. Like fishing. Yeah, we got to take that one off the list, don't we? You know, but there's so many things. Our wants and our needs and our desires and our agenda and our time and our happiness. That's what we seem to focus on the most. And we even determine our spiritual life by that. We determine what church we go to by that. Here in America, if this church doesn't make me happy, I'll go to this church over here and I'll stay there at that church until that church makes me unhappy, and then I'll go somewhere else and find another church where I might feel comfortable in.
Your
And I'm telling you, we got people that bounce around because they're more concerned about themselves than they are about their own spiritual connection with God, because it's not about the people around you as much as it is about your relationship with God. And when you get your relationship with God right, everything else around you will just fall into place. Even those who say they love God, people who call themselves Christians, can often be just as guilty as focusing on everything except God. And let me tell you, even as a pastor, there's times I get so busy doing good things, I get so busy getting caught up in trying to make people happy that I don't read my Bible as much as I should. And then I find myself on Friday trying to cram for sermons on Sunday or praying. You know, I was like, man, I meant to pray for so-and-so today. And or this, I mean, just all these things start to get into conflict. Okay. And then it becomes unbalanced. And then it becomes overwhelming. And then next thing you know, you fall into this sense of being burned out on everything. And it happens. It happens. And like I said a few weeks ago, you know, over 1,200 pastors leave the ministry every day. Every day. Because they're just overwhelmed. And you know that number is much higher when it comes to people going to church. Laymen. People quit the church every day because they're tired. Or they think that there's just all kinds of things I can say about that. Another whole nother sermon. You know, the problem we have is a lot of times we get our focus off of God and we start focusing on ourselves and we focus on our problems and the things that we need. Or let me say that a different way, the things that we want and not necessarily need. Because Jesus, if I'm correct, the Bible says that Jesus would supply all of our needs. But yet we have a tough time with getting ahead of God on that one, especially in our culture. And so many people have went down the road with credit card debt and all of this stuff, and they get themselves underwater when they're like, I need this so bad that I can't wait on God because God said He'd supply my needs, but I need that. And they go get it anyway. And if they can't afford to get it, we go get a credit card. And then we max out our credit cards. And next thing you know, it's a vicious cycle that happens to so many. That's another whole sermon. Hey, we're all guilty of it all. Hey, I'm not... I preach to myself a lot up here, guys. Because if I'm not there now, I have been there at one time in my life. Come on. But I've learned, sometimes the hard way, I've learned to start trusting God more and me less. I promise not to preach long today. I've added so much here. You know, we have two services on Sunday. I'm going to get off the subject here just a little bit, off the weeds. And we also have a Wednesday night service. So many people make excuses why they can't come to church on Sunday. I understand Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard for some people to get up out of bed. Especially to make it, I mean, how can you not want to come to Ed's fabulous breakfast? I mean, come on. And Lottie's been coming and helping, and the pancakes, man, I'll tell you what, they're over the top. I wish I could eat them. They just look good. I mean, come on, that is a wonderful blessing that we have here. And I appreciate Ed more. Ed, you just don't know how much I appreciate what you do. I mean, it is a blessing. We also have Wednesday night service. Did I mention that before? Wednesday nights. Why do I say this? Because there's opportunities to serve in the church. There's opportunities to learn. There's opportunities to be part of the family. There's opportunities here in the church to draw closer, to move forward in your faith as well. There's opportunities. There should never, you know, there's more, not just our church. There's other churches that have two services. Really? And they also have Wednesday night. And some of them even really go off the rails and they have a Thursday night service or group meetings. And that's just weird because we've always done Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays. And when you do something on Thursday, it's just messed up. It's the way we've always done it, right? We do. Yeah, sometimes we get off in the bushes on, but usually it's always good. We learn, we grow in our faith together, don't we? All right, I'll get off that. You know, but we need to be willing to put all the things in this world aside to serve God and to put God first is what I'm trying to say. We need to be willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary to draw closer to God, to move forward in our faith. And we need to sacrifice all the things of this world that remove our focus from Jesus. Amen? We got to get rid of that stuff that takes us away from Him. Each one of us is going to be a little bit different. Not all of us are going to have the same things that draw us away from God, but we need to sacrifice those things. And you know those things that are in your heart. You know what they are. I don't have to point them out to you. Sometimes they're deep inside. Is that something you're willing to do this morning? What are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? You know, there was a rich young man. He once told Jesus, he said, I want to follow you. I'll follow you. And when Jesus told him, he had to get rid of all those things of the world that held his attention. The man walked away unhappy. The man wanted Jesus, but he didn't want him enough to get rid of his stuff. He wanted to keep his stuff and have Jesus too. That's like getting your cake and how's that say? Have your cake and eat it too. There you go. All Jesus wanted the young man to do was get rid of those things in life that meant more to him than Jesus did. And that's all he wants from us. He wants us to get rid of those things in our life that mean more to us than Jesus. And what is it for you? What is it? In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 62, there's an account of three men that Jesus met as he traveled with his disciples. And two of those men declared that they wanted to follow Jesus and to become his disciples. And the other man was a person Jesus asked to follow him too. And it goes like this in verse 57. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Wow. Say amen and ouch to that. You know, the words of Jesus here towards people who it seems have not counted the cost of following Jesus. And when Jesus speaks of these men, he wasn't trying to discourage them from following him. He's encouraging them to think through what following him, what following Jesus really is all about. He wants them to really understand the cost, the sacrifice involved in really following Jesus. And he speaks of these three men, of the three things. And he said to count the cost, right? Leave it behind and don't look back. Those are three good things to remember. Count the cost, leave it behind, and don't look back. That first man, he said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." I wonder how many of us have said that. Well, what if Jesus asked you to go to Turkey or Guatemala or Brazil? You'd probably think, "Well, I don't know that was God telling me that." Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you lead me. By faith, I will follow you." And I know I've said that so many times, but do you really mean it if you said that? And Jesus answered to the man, "It is that wherever he is going is not the easy option. It's a walk that will require faith. It's a walk that will test your faith." And when Jesus came to this planet to live and to die for us, he left behind everything, everything, all the glory in heaven he left behind. Amen? He left it all. And Jesus is saying here, he's like, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." Are you willing to give up that much to follow Jesus? The King of Glory doesn't have a place to call home. He has no earthly home. He had to borrow a coin to tell a story because he didn't have one. He borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem to fulfill a prophecy. He was even buried in a borrowed tomb. He had nothing. Humanly speaking, he had nothing. He gave up everything for you and me, and those who follow Jesus must be prepared to walk in that same faith. You know, Jesus calls the second man to be his disciple, and the man asks him to go and bury his father first. That seems like a reasonable thing, right? That seems reasonable. We look at these things and we say, "Well, you know, that's reasonable." But when we understand Jesus replies here, he said, "Let the spiritual dead bury their own dead, and I've called you to preach for me," basically, is what he's saying. It's a little disturbing here what he says. If you don't know about Jewish funeral procedures in the old time, there was an initial burial, but that took place soon after the person died. And then 1 year later, after the first burial, the son would return to rebury the bones in a special box called an ossuary, in a special slot in the wall of a tomb, and they find those. And this man who has been called by Jesus could be asking for up to a year's delay before following him. And what Jesus is saying is, let others take care of that. And, you know, because the demands of the kingdom of God are more, the kingdom of God's more important than that right now. Right? Man, those are hard things for us to understand, aren't they? But what's more important, your eternity, your eternity? Is that the most important thing in your life right now? Would you give up your eternity for anything? What's more important?
Jesus.
The point Jesus makes here is that if you're going to follow Jesus, then the responsibility of his kingdoms come before anything or anyone else. Wow. That's counting the cost. That's why he said, do you really know what it means to follow me? Do you really? I mean, I can imagine that conversation in a chuckle with some people that would come to him. I want to follow you. Do you really know what it means? Because there's more to this than what you're seeing. It's not about the glory of healing. It's not about all this. There's a whole lot more to it than that. A whole lot more to it than coming to church and sitting in padded chairs and singing a few songs and enjoying the spirit of the moment. It's more than that.
Wow.
If you're going to follow Jesus, he who loves the father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Man, that's a level of devotion, isn't it? That's like beyond our comprehension sometimes. And he's not telling us to dishonor parents or disregard our responsibilities to family, but when we need to make a choice, God comes first. Amen? God comes first. Anything that will stop us from moving forward in our faith, anything that will move us away from our relationship with Christ, anything that keeps us from being devoted to God, Jesus says we need to be willing to leave it behind. Jesus says, leave it behind and follow me. And I hear people say all the time, I want to really follow Jesus, but there's always that but in there. Sometimes it's a big old butt, and it doesn't lie. That's my song gig for today. Lord, help me. Will you forgive me?
Yeah, me forgive. Okay, boy.
But there's always that in there. There's always the but. It's always, I've got something more important to do. I've always got a career to think about or a hobby that's more important. I know people who are on the lake today. Beautiful day. Man, I'm telling you, it is a gorgeous day to be out on the lake today. There's nothing really wrong with being out on the lake if it doesn't take you away from God, right? There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with guitars and guns and those type of things. But let me tell you, if it takes you away from God, then there's a problem. There's a problem. Some people they need to sleep in on Sunday morning because they had a rough week. Sometimes their weekend started on Friday night and hadn't stopped until Sunday late, and then they're not able to get up on Sunday morning because they had too much fun on Saturday night. You know, but sometimes we're just tired and we just want a day off. Sometimes we just had a long work week and we just been stressed out all week. And sometimes we just want to have a day off, don't we? Sometimes. There again. But God knows your heart, and He's speaking to your heart. When He calls you to follow Him, to commit your life to Christ and take up your cross and follow Him every day is more than just a label. Don't make excuses for the things you allow in your life, the things that you hold on to that keep you from that right relationship with Christ, things that will hinder you in your life. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. That conversation that Jesus had with the third man, and I'm hurrying up here, I promise. Again, it seems like a reasonable request, and you've already said you're ready to follow me. You've already picked up the plow, basically, is what he says here. Why would you look back? You've already started the work. You're already moving forward. And if you turn away now, if you turn back now, if you return to where you came from, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, that's a tough statement, isn't it? Jesus is saying that we need to move forward and don't look back. There's lots of, I remember in the Old Testament when Lot's wife looked back, right? That didn't work out so good for her. When Peter, James, and John followed Jesus, they literally dropped everything. They dropped their nets and said, "See you, Dad." Off they went. Peter didn't say, "Well, let me go back and ask permission from my wife because she may have a problem with this because I'm quitting my job today to follow Jesus." And that was a conversation I can imagine between Peter and his wife. Who's Jesus? Well, there's a guy I met down there on the seashore. "Well, where are you going?" "I don't know. He just said, follow me." I said, "Okay." That's what we get, right, from the story. Like, okay. Jesus calls and they responded and follow Jesus. Following Jesus takes faith and it takes sacrifice and it also takes commitment. And let me tell you, there must never be any going back. Amen. No going back for me. I'm in this too deep now. I've got my hands on the plow. And let me tell you, if you've ever walked behind a horse or a mule plowing a field, I got the opportunity to do that when I was a young man. I'm glad I didn't have to do that very much. But my grandpa he had a horse and a little plow, you know. And he plowed his garden, and it was, let's see, I think it was Marion Duty. We called him the Duke, and he's a character. He's related to Doris Johnson, and the Marion Duty, you know, he always had a horse and plow and walking behind that. If you ever look back, you'd be like this. He's all over the place. If you keep straight forward and watch where you're going, you didn't tear it up. Interesting. So what will it cost you today to follow Jesus? That's my question for you. What will it cost you today to follow Jesus? What will it cost you to get closer to Him and step out in faith and truly follow Him? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this great group of people that are here this morning. Lord, I just pray that you bless them. Lord, bless them in every way, Lord. Strengthen their faith. Lord, let us leave here better than we came, Lord, as we surrender ourselves to your service. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.